Hello and welcome back to the show. So I am super excited here to be sitting with my guest today, Franco Perez. Franco is the founder of Franco Mobile Homes, and he is an expert in mobile homes in real estate. And he is not only just a mobile home expert and a serial entrepreneur, he is actually a champion of the affordable housing movement. And he has a really interesting story for how he got into being an expert in mobile homes that relates to his personal background. And he's really making a huge difference in the world today, helping others get into mobile homes and owning their own homes, as well as running a very successful business as well. So, without further ado, I'll introduce you guys to my guest, Franco. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kobe. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on, and I'm really excited to kind of have you tell your story a little bit to our audience who may not be familiar with who you are, because I think it's really interesting and it really relates well with what you're doing here today with your mobile home business. So, if you don't mind just sharing maybe a little bit about who you are and how you got into it, and just what was it that kind of prompted you into being the champion for affordable housing that you are today?
Yeah, I guess kind of long story short, I'll try to keep it short. But who I am, my immigrant family from the Philippines moved over to California at a young age. I was put in this weird housing situation where my parents, they divorced, they lost a house, and I was my dad left the country. And at a young age, I grew up with a single mom and my younger sister in the Silicon Valley, which is a weird place to be when you don't have money. But I remember the struggle it was growing up with my mom, having to drop out of school, having to work two jobs at 17, 18 years old, and still stressed with so much anxiety of if we're going to make ends meet at the end of every month. I mean, I was selling cans and everything. And at this phase, it was like every dollar mattered. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to make it at the end of every month. There were so many times I asked my landlord to just give us a few more days to get enough to just survive. And I say that now because I know there's a lot of people that are still going through that today. But the key with that is I got past that. I realized how the world, is kind of an unfair situation. Why is it that back when I was there, I didn't know a lot about finance. I didn't know about how money works or anything like that. But from there, I became a real estate agent. I ended up doing really well as a real estate agent because I was in survival mode. I didn't really know what real estate was. I was door knocking and cold calling morning to night. And after I became pretty decently stable as a real estate agent, I really reflected back on my life and where I was as an agent. And I actually realized that I hated being a real estate agent. I hated it because I was in a role where I was kind of being trained to help the wealthiest people I can help get the most expensive investments that they can get, but I had to deny families that just wanted someone to help guide them through. And it hurt me so much to have to say, hey, unfortunately, you don't make enough money. Unfortunately, you don't have enough saved as a down payment. You can't really buy here. But if you make more and save more, I can help you later down the line. And to me, it hurt so much to have to say no to that person because I know they're probably going through the pain that I was going through in those shoes. When I was broke and poor, nobody was guiding me, nobody was helping me, and that sort of thing. But it's kind of an interesting world where everyone's trying to help the rich and wealthy, but nobody's out there trying to help the middle class, those families that can't yet afford real estate, right? So left being a real estate agent for a while, trying to find that thing that would help those families, and tried working for the government, hated it there. And I accidentally stumbled across mobile home parks and mobile homes themselves. And from what I thought mobile homes were, I thought they were like trailer trash, or I thought it was the ghetto and criminals and drug dealers and that sort of thing. But and that's because that's all we see on TV. But then come to realize when I go into these communities, there's families, there's community, there's people starting their wealth building journey inside these communities. And I realized this is a place where nobody really realizes the true value of this and how this can be a key stepping stone for families. And from there, I decided to build a business focused around exposing that, ex around showing the world the importance of mobile home communities, how it becomes a stepping stone for those families getting out of the rat race and starting a foundation of financial security. And now today we are we're not just helping people transact with mobile homes, but we're also converting old trailers into large, luxurious, we call them sexy mobile homes. They're like 1700 square foot, 12 foot high ceiling homes with quartz countertops, laminate floors, and as sexy as could be. So that's where we're at today. I know that was long, but that's the best
No, that's awesome, man.
I
I
could
really appreciate you sharing your story, because I think it resonates with a lot of people out there who might be, they might be doing things in their business that are not, that doesn't resonate with who they are and who their values are. And that's kind of a similar story that you went through as well, being the real estate agent, but it wasn't necessarily something you wanted to do, and then you transitioned into doing something and running a business that actually helped you as an individual, but also you're able to help other people as well. So I really want to kind of dig into just the intricacies of a mobile home transaction first and foremost. So, as a real estate agent, right, dealing with a transaction that is, just a normal single family home versus dealing with a transaction that is a mobile home, what would be the difference there, just from a, completing the transaction point of view? And you don't have to get into like super specifics, because I know state laws are going to be a little bit different for every state. But just from your experience, is there any true difference there, or what would be the difference between that tr those transactions?
Well, I think it kind of depends. It does definitely depend on the area, and it depends on, one of our big focuses are in metro areas where housing is very expensive. But transactions are pretty similar, but things to point out is there is a park application process that's kind of like an HOA approval process. And financing is a bit different on them as well. But the key thing about our what we do is really understanding that what mobile homes are and the value that they actually provide, because there's a ton of myths around mobile homes that even agents out there, or me as a great agent as well, don't actually know. Like these homes, like everyone assumes that they're bad quality homes, that they depreciate in value, that they're a bad investment. And there's a lot of misinformation that gets rolled around the network, even over the network of professionals, right? Whereas in many areas, it's actually the far from opposite. In our area, homes in just the last year, mobile homes themselves have appreciated over 12% in the last year. And with that, it's so important that people understand how personal cash flow works and how finance works when it comes to everyone understands like renting versus owning. And all of the wealthy kind of understand the big benefits of owning real estate. They get appreciation, they get tax benefits, they get to leverage a loan to build up their net worth. And they just have so many benefits that a lot of people don't yet have access to being able to benefit from, right? But what people don't know about mobile homes is that it's like a hybrid of owning and renting. So you own the mobile home that's on top of the land, you don't own the land, right? Some people would look at that as a big flaw, but it does, you're still able to benefit from the values of home ownership, such as appreciation, the loan, using a loan to leverage. To purchase something to build up your net worth and getting tax benefits and appreciation as well. And if you can use that to get out of the rental rat race model, it can make a big difference for these families just trying to survive.
Right, absolutely. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, right? You mentioned there's a lot of stigma around mobile homes and a lot of misconceptions as well. And really, one of the things that I remember I was learning about mobile homes is that there's a difference between mobile homes that are, like you mentioned, that are renting the land, and also mobile homes where you actually own the parcel of land that the home is on as well. So Are you dealing with individuals or investors who are looking for those options as well, where you're owning the mobile home, but also the parcel of land that the home is on as well? Or is it mostly based, mobile homes in, these mobile home communities or parks where, you own the home, but you're renting the land?
So we kind of have three segments of our business service. So it's basically, the broker side, helping people buy and sell mobile homes individually themselves. And then the second part is more of a construction development company where we help convert people's old home to a new one. So a lot of people that live in these mobile homes don't realize the value of their home, and they can find out that, hey, you're actually sitting on a gold mine. You can spend $250,000, and now your new future value is like $400,000, which becomes a big up for them. And then it becomes a win for us too, because we get to service them. And then the third element is we also only recently really are starting to help with park owners themselves too. People that are looking to buy a mobile home park, people that own a mobile home park now and want to do value adds to their communities, and how do they do that in a strategic way? That's something that we help with as well.
Yeah, so that's really interesting that you brought up that you guys are helping with people who are wanting to own mobile home parks, because that's become, I think, recently a very popular investment amongst real estate investors. So, would you mind maybe going through a little bit some of the benefits of owning a mobile home park, especially as it, compares to maybe owning a traditional apartment or traditional complex like a commercial complex? What may be the benefits of owning a mobile home park versus renting, investing in a investing in an apartment complex or something of that similar nature?
Yeah, I guess when it comes to owning a mobile home park, there's a ton of benefits. I think my personal favorite, and everyone's different, but is really how it helps society. I'm a big advocate of kind of, is what you're doing going to make a big difference or an impact for future lives out there? But I think with that, it's really understanding affordable housing and how it benefits those families that maybe can't afford things yet. But that's one big thing. We do a lot of lobbying around this with the government to kind of help ease this. The second is, as an investor standpoint, you're right. There's a lot of attention around this. It's really the most untapped real estate asset class that is super misunderstood, that nobody, it's so complicated that nobody really wants to dive into it. But it's only recently that you're starting to see hedge funds, you're starting to see all these investors failing at office space or failing at whatever it is that they're at. And they're like, holy shit, this mobile home thing is something we should really understand. Right. But another pro is you don't really deal with a lot of tenant issues because it's a shared ownership model. The residents own the home themselves, and you own the land. All you're really maintaining is the utilities, the landscaping, and the community shared elements, right? So you're not dealing with a broken toilet, a messed up dishwasher, and that sort of thing. All of those issues are, it's a shared risk. So the owners take care of their mobile home. All you take care of is the utilities and the community itself. So it kind of becomes a low maintenance, low maintenance investment for a lot of people as well. And because it is also something that's not really looked into often, guess what? It's less of a bloodbath. There's not as much competition that you're competing with. It's easier to find good deals. I mean, how often do you find great deals in multifamily apartments? It's very rare because everyone's looking for one, right? And if nobody understands this, it's part why it's easier to understand deals. And you get a leverage of being able, if you understand mobile homes well, then you'll be able to find deals. What looks like trash to others might be gold to you, right?
Right, absolutely. And that's one of the beauties of owning a mobile home park and being able to run that investment is that you're not having to manage the individual units like you would have to if you were in, you were in an investment of an apartment building or a commercial complex as well, right? So you're only maintaining kind of the land and the shared utilities, like you mentioned. So as an investor, right, who's maybe looking to get into mobile home park investing or, kind of get started in this aspect or avenue of investing, what would you say are some of the things that they should be looking out for when it comes to investing in mobile home parks? Is it just, a good tract of land? You mentioned, understanding mobile homes. What are some things that, people out there who might not understand yet that if they wanted to get into mobile home park investing that they should know and some of the key aspects of, running a profitable and a successful investment?
So, yeah, with that, I think it really boils down to the market you're in and the housing problems that that you're looking at. I mean, the housing problems of the market you're in as well. So, mobile home parks do well in areas where there are big housing problems, like the Bay Area, Seattle, LA, Austin's starting to become a hot area as well, Atlanta, that sort of thing. So, if you understand the actual economics of the market of the area that you're in, if it's difficult for families to, if there's a big gap between renting and owning, then people are going to have to find alternatives, right? So, those are the areas and markets you typically want to find mobile home parks when it comes to that.
Yeah, so just looking at places where there's kind of a shortage of housing and there's an issue with affordable housing is usually the best places to find mobile home park investments. Would you say that's correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to, and maybe just shifting gears a little bit here, when it comes to marketing mobile homes, right? Maybe if you're in a mobile home park investor, maybe you're an agent looking to more market mobile home park mobile homes for individuals to sell those or broker those transactions. What would you say are some of the problems or at least some of the misconceptions from the consumers that you're running into that and how are you able to kind of dispel those myths of getting somebody into a mobile home? Because like you mentioned, for a lot of people from the outside looking in, right, it might not be a great, it might not be great for them in their mind, but it's actually a great investment if you really started looking into it. So what are some of the things that you get a lot of, what are some of the objections that you get and how are you handling those objections from people marketing as from a marketing the mobile home perspective?
So if you're talking marketing and that sort of thing, it's really understanding what are our biggest problems, what's the biggest competition when it comes to the brand around mobile homes. And like we talked about earlier, the stigmas and the associations are most people don't get to experience going into a mobile home park themselves. So all the associations and stigmas only come from Netflix, movies, music videos, and all they portray is horrible quality life, horrible quality homes, housing situations, and that sort of thing. So after looking into it, I'm like, there's, I'm kind of sick of explaining myself of like trying to say, hey, these homes aren't that bad quality. Hey, these communities aren't that are actually pretty great and beautiful, and not, everyone not believing me. I realized that words can only do so much. So that's why we focus all of our energy around video itself. And with that, that's where we have our whole like sexy mobile home stuff. Our YouTube channel has really been good for us. And that's where we've got gained a lot of attention around. That's where we show the beauty of the mobile home community itself. People are shocked that there's golf courses, tennis courts, saunas inside these communities that they can live in, and how beautiful the park is, and then also how beautiful the homes could be. We do home tours of a 1500 square foot or 2000 square foot mobile home that looks much nicer than a multi-million dollar single family home. And also we do a lot of I mean, not DIY, we do a lot of behind the scenes stuff of how we build these homes in factories. all of these, you know, it's such a beautiful thing about how we're innovating in construction, where construction is a huge problem in our future. We show how we're streamlining the, you know, everything's built on an assembly line nowadays. And that's how we got cars that were originally built for the rich and wealthy. We got them accessible to everybody through an assembly line. And that's how we're building housing today. And that's how we're showing how we construct them as well. We're building these homes in a factory, in a controlled environment on an assembly line, and maximizing the amount of homes that we can pump out with the least amount of labor. And it's really cool seeing the behind the scenes of that on our YouTube channel too. But that's really been the big thing that's gotten us the most attention and the more belief in, like, hey, maybe I should look into this. I didn't realize that this could look like this. Like, that's a mobile home. There's no way that's a mobile home. That's in a mobile home park. There's no way that's in a mobile home park. But when they actually see it, then they start to believe it, right?
Right. Yeah. So just making sure that people are actually getting the correct information is so important. And that's why I think, you know, what you guys are doing with video marketing and showing people behind the scenes and actually showing them what it's like to, you know, not only be in a mobile home and live in one of these communities, but also how you guys are manufacturing them as well, and really giving people a behind the scenes look at just how these homes are created and some of the innovation that you guys are putting into really the, you know, the housing and the construction aspect of the industry as well. So, and this might be a kind of a question where you're able to kind of give your opinion a little bit. Would you think that, you know, that's kind of where the housing industry and the construction industry is headed, with more, you know, kind of streamlined building processes, these types of, you know, manufactured mobile homes that are built mostly in factories, and being able to, you know, having it be more affordable and also having it be more efficient to build more of these homes into the future? Is that kind of where you're seeing the trend going into the future?
For the sake of everyone, I'd say I really, really hope so, because I mean, it's fascinating to me that nobody really is, you know, we always see a ton of bad news and that sort of thing, but nobody's actually pinpointing how many issues we have in the housing, in the affordable housing space. Home prices just keep going up. The affordability of homes for middle-class families are becoming harder and harder. And on top of that, for us to be able to build homes is getting harder and harder. Our population is growing. Most of our construction workers and skilled workers today are 45 years old and older, and they're getting tired. They want to retire. And then also all the young generations going in, everyone wants to work a tech or a computer job. Nobody wants to work with a hammer and become a construction worker. How are we going to build homes in the future? It's already very difficult. We're already having shortage of supply chain issues. All the material costs are getting more and more expensive. We're still building homes today like we were over 100 years ago, and nothing really drastic has changed, right? But if we don't innovate and change how construction is made, we're never going to see a drastic improvement. And it's up to the radicals to really try to figure this out on how can we get a more cost-effective home pumped out. Like, we're starting to see other innovative things become popular, but not practical yet. The cool thing about mobile homes is that they are an already working model that's being used by families already today. And yes, with that, we are able to maximize, you know, every inch of skilled labor that we have, keeping material costs lower. We're also using less waste in these factories, because on a typical job site of a construction built home, there's on average 3 large truck dumpsters that need to be trashed and put to waste. In a factory, for every 1500 square foot home we build, it's actually less than a half of a dumpster that needs to be filled. And if we understand how factories work, because how is it that we're able to save so much waste? It's because guess what? When we cut a piece of wood and we have the excess piece, we can store that in another section of a factory and use that for another section of a house, right? And there's so many different levels of process improvement that can be made inside of a factory versus the old school way of on-site construction, where we have to transport labor, we have to transport material back and forth. All of our tools we have to break down every day and put back to the main site. It's so ineffective, so bad for the environment. And in the end, that's the people don't realize that's the reason why home prices are going up. That's why the cost of completing a home is skyrocketing, right? But what's beautiful is in these factories, we're starting to see and really understand how we can, at the end of the factory assembly line, have a very high quality home that's still done at a very low cost, right? And that's the big key when it comes to construction in the future of our world. I mean, there's already other countries out there that are doing it drastically better than we are, and it's up to us to be able to advocate to push that forward. There's really, I don't see any other way.
Right. So it's not just a more effective way to build homes in the future, but it's also more efficient, right? Like you mentioned, you are saving so much waste that could be reused into building other aspects of other homes with the process that you guys are implementing versus the traditional way, which is, you know, there's so much more waste, right? There's, like you mentioned, like more than three times as much waste as there would be if they were building it through the manufactured methods that you guys are using and innovating here today.
Not just the waste of materials, but a waste of labor, a waste of time, because we can build so much faster. Single family home, typically when I build it, takes about 16 months or so. We just beat our record of building a home, and we completed a whole manufactured home project in less than 2.5 months, right? It's just fascinating. It's less than a third of the time of building a stick built home. And people don't see this. People don't realize the beauty of this type of construction. You're not just wasting time. You're also not wasting resources as well. There's so many pros to the way we're doing construction now today.
Right. And another question that I think I would have is when it comes to maintaining a manufactured home, and obviously it has to do with, you know, a lot of it has to do with the actual manufacturing process of it as well, and, you know, how well it's built and put together. When it comes to maintaining it, and I know you guys go into a lot of kind of existing mobile homes and, you know, fix them up and make them, you know, like you said, the sexy mobile homes. But when it comes to that aspect of it, is it pretty comparable to, you would say, like a single family home that's built as far as being able to maintain all the utilities and appliances and, you know, just the overall structure of the home? And or is it maybe a little bit more, you know, you need a little bit more maintenance on it in a little bit less time, but it's a little bit more cost effective than it is to maintain like a standing home, like new construction home, or even ones that are being resold?
Yeah, so I'd say to the first part of what you said, it's actually very rare that we ever remodel like an old home. So to answer your question, it kind of depends on the year that it's built. If it's like pre-80s, 1980s or 1970s, it's the standards back then were very, very low in construction, right? But usually what we do instead of remodeling it is we'll replace the whole home itself. We'll remove that home from the park and we build it starting brand new. And the new standards, I'm very involved with kind of the new standards of mobile homes and manufactured homes as well. But with the new standards, it's very important to us to keep a lot of the construction elements universal. We use sheetrock, we use 2x4 exterior walls, same insulation, all to the same standards of new home construction today, right? So everything's pretty much the same construction quality, same construction standards, the fireproofing. Actually, in many ways, it's the standards of these homes are much higher than a lot of regular construction homes, because we actually have to have a stronger home that can be delivered on the freeways too.
Right. And that's pretty interesting. I don't think people think about that a lot, is, you know, because of the transportation aspect of mobile homes, they might actually be, you know, for the standards, there might actually be more strict, right? It has to be more, you know, a more stable home, right? Because people tend to kind of move around a little bit. And I guess that's something else is, do you see people being, having a little bit more freedom now because it is easier to move the mobile home to maybe a different area of the country or maybe a different area of the city? Or is that something that you don't see very often? It's more so people are just using these types of manufactured homes, but they're staying in one spot and they're choosing to do so.
Yeah. So when it comes to the mobile home parks themselves, you know, it's kind of deceiving because you call them mobile homes, but the truth of it is we build them to be as permanent as could be. So when we put it there, it's not a plan to be able to move them. Once it's set, it's pretty much set there to be planned to be there for 50 plus years. But it's kind of like a legal loophole of, guess what? This is still classified as a mobile home. It's not technically real estate, and that's part what keeps it affordable as well. But the key with that, when you mention freedom, is that is more of the financial freedom element, the access to being able to own something like this, because the barrier to entry is much lower. You're able, you know, and the control of who's able to purchase these. It's hard, and this is kind of our agenda lately, is that it's especially in our areas, it's impossible to buy a mobile home itself to be a rent, to rent it out as an investment, which some might be seeing that as a flaw. But for me, I think that's the biggest pro, is because everyone that lives in this mobile home park, everyone that lives in a mobile home, that has to be their primary residence, which means this is for a family that actually needs this as their home. You are not buying a mobile home and having to compete with hedge funds or investors that are buying their fourth or fifth home. And that's another reason why home prices are being driven up as well, is that, guess what? If a family's putting an offer on the home, there's probably two other offers going in on that home that's just getting it as their investment priority. But with mobile homes, every family that's getting in or out of these homes is a family that this is their primary residence. This is a big deal to their personal life. And that's why I've personally been so driven about this, is because every transaction we do, it's a family that needs this. Not just another investor that needs, you know, another piece of cash flow or another investment vehicle to be able to move money around, but an actual family that this is going to make an impact for their kids, for the future generations, and having financial security and starting their wealth building journey. So that's kind of a key of why we love this.
Right. Yeah. And you hear about these stories all the time, right? With the, you know, traditional homes where, you know, people are competing with, you know, like you said, these giant hedge funds and these iBuyers coming over where they have much more, you know, much more capital they can spend. They can really outbid people and just kind of, you know, muscle people out of their communities. And you hear of iBuyers even, you know, sometimes now buying up entire communities of new construction homes just to rent them out or to wait for the appreciation and resell them later on. And I think that's something that, you know, if you just mentioned, with mobile homes, that's not something that people can do at this point, which is good for the consumers themselves, because they're not competing with these huge iBuyers that are coming in and just spending all this capital to buy up, you know, entire communities and start to rent them out, or buy up, you know, multiple mobile homes at mass and renting them out to people, and just, you know, they don't have to compete with that. So as far as, you know, as far as the affordability, right? Maybe you can touch on this just kind of in your market, because I know in California, you know, the affordability is kind of a, you know, kind of a, there's kind of a crisis when it comes to home affordability. So what is the, I would say, what is the difference between, you know, getting into a, you know, kind of an average single family home that's actually built on land versus, you know, getting into a mobile home? You know, how much are people saving, and what is the actual discrepancy there where, you know, somebody's able to afford a mobile home, but not, you know, a traditional home?
Yeah, I can definitely break that down. You touched on something though that I wanted to expand on actually. But, you know, what people don't realize is that there's already a big wealth gap in our country and financial freedom. And it's very difficult for the poor to become financially free right now. And it's only getting, the sad part about this world is that it's only getting worse and worse. That gap is spreading. And we all, you know, there's tons of financial tools out there, but we all, real estate is a big, big core of that for families to be able to bridge that gap from, or to be able to be financially secure. And I say that, I do truly believe that financial freedom is the new freedom that we have to fight for, because it is very difficult. I'm coughing right now. Sorry. I don't know what happened to my throat. But financial freedom is such, is something that we really have to protect. It's kind of something that isn't talked about enough, but we need to keep housing accessible to those families. I mean, people move to America for freedom, but we have to realize that that freedom is being stripped away from us because of access to financial resources such as real estate, right? So that being said, if we understand, I'm going to talk numbers about the Silicon Valley, which is kind of the future of the world, not just in technology, that sort of thing, but also in the problems that are going to happen in our country, right? Because we've kind of seen the bad effects of housing already, and it's only going to be like that in every metro area. But our numbers, the numbers I'm going to mention might be seem very high compared to Houston or other markets, but the ratios and the problems are the same. So in my area, a two-bedroom apartment, if a family of four wanted to rent a two-bedroom apartment, it would cost about $3,400 a month to rent that out. It's very difficult for a regular middle-class family to just keep up with that simply. And then if somebody wanted to buy a single-family home in the same zip code, they're looking at about $1.5 million for an average single-family home, right? How does a family ever dream, you know, ever dream of owning a $1.5 million home coming out of that rental rat race when they're keeping up with rent and it's very difficult for them? If they ever wanted to purchase a single-family home, it would be, if they wanted to put 10% down for a home like that, that's $150,000 they have to have saved up. And their new monthly payment would have to jump to about $7,000 a month, including insurance and all of that stuff. Why would someone want to make that big leap? Or how could someone make that big leap when they're already keeping up with payments on their rent to jump into single family home? It's such a huge gap, such a huge barrier to entry. And that barrier makes it difficult for families to really excel, for low-income families to really excel financially, right? Now, that's where mobile homes can come into a perfect play. People don't realize that mobile homes are around, that they're in great areas like the Silicon Valley, but it is that hybrid of in between. If a family wanted to buy a mobile home in this area, average is about $330,000. The space rent on that home is about $1,000. So 10% of 330, instead of paying $150,000 down, they would have to come up with $33,000 down. Much more attainable to for a family of four to be able to save that amount of money. Now, what's their home payment going to be? Their mortgage would look somewhere around $2,700, and the space rent is about $1,000. So their total monthly payment is going to be roughly around just under $4,000 a month. So going from $3,400 a month to $3,700 a month on a mobile home, just by shifting to a mobile home structure in itself, yes, it's a little bit higher, but guess what? You now have those ownership elements that we were talking about that everyone wants to benefit from in real estate: the tax benefits, the appreciation, the equity, the building, buying something that builds up their net worth, leveraging a loan to be able to buy something like this. Just by shifting that cash flow, you're building yourself a financial vehicle that's kind of like a piggy bank that is making your cash flow work better for you. Instead of spending $3,400 a month on rent for 5 years, you get nothing back after leaving that apartment. But if you live in a mobile home for 5 years, the big difference when we calculate it, on average, you're getting an extra of $70,000 when you choose to sell that home later down the line, which can make a huge, huge difference for a family. And that then becomes an equity that they can sell off and now be able to be in the regular real estate market, right? We have so many mobile home owners that are selling off their mobile home and now able to access accessibly buy a piece of real estate. We just helped a lady that was that's a teacher in our area. They're both teachers. They lived in mobile homes. They've been financially secure and able to survive as teachers in this area. And they sold their mobile home and now they can buy a single family home just because they made that decision years ago to buy a mobile home before, right? So that's kind of the key of it. And I know those numbers were very high, but we do consulting. And I just did consulting in Atlanta and the numbers were about half of that, but the same problem, right? Rent is about $2,000 a month. Mobile homes are about $150,000. Single family homes are about $300,000. But it's a stepping stone for people. And it's an accessible stepping stone for people versus trying to make that huge leap into single family and not knowing if they're going to be able to make those payments, which unfortunately does happen a lot of time.
Right. And that's something that's not talked about quite enough in real estate is people getting into homes, but not being able to keep them, right? Which is a big issue as well. So that's a really good breakdown of numbers, right? And especially I actually think it's beneficial that you use those kind of larger numbers because it paints more of a extreme picture for people, right? Who might be in a different market, but they're seeing these big ratios. And it really is, really, really gives a good idea of why it's beneficial for those individuals to get into mobile homes and leverage that as a wealth building asset as the first step to start building wealth and to get into maybe single family homes or other investments in the future as well. So really, that's a really good breakdown. I don't think a lot of people have a good idea of that. But Franco, I just want to say thank you for being on our show today. You shared a ton of value and a ton of unique points as well as far as, getting affordable housing, helping other people get into homes, helping other people build wealth as well. For those individuals out there who are listening to this or watching this that want to get more information about what you do, who wants to follow your journey or just see some cool videos about some of these sexy mobile homes you guys are putting out there, what are some of the best ways for people to follow you either on social media, your website, or anything that you guys are really active on?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen what a mobile home is, I know we're on a podcast chatting here, but I urge you to really look into it. Our team does a great job on our YouTube channel. All of our links are at www.franco.tv. You can see the 3D tours. You can see we do educational videos of breaking down numbers even better. But with that, that's something that I'd really have you look into. But all of our links are on that website, www.franco.tv.
Awesome. We'll make sure to leave the link to that in the description and the show notes down below. So make sure people can get to it. But other than that, Franco, thank you again for being here. And before I let you go, is there any last pieces of advice, any last tips, anything else you want to leave with us before I let you go here?
I'd say one is, I know there's a lot of people out there that are always chasing the money and the dollars and cents. And I urge, hopefully, that this podcast kind of encourages people that sometimes that gets you to a certain level. But what really helped me build out this, or our team to be able to build this out, was really chasing helping people. And I hope this inspires for people to really focus more on the impact that they create versus the dollar that they create. Because sometimes you'll find you can do a lot more when you chase the impact versus the dollar. I think that's one thing that I'd want to put out there.
Absolutely. And that was beautiful, Franco. And I want to thank you again for being on the show. And thank you for tuning in. And we will see you on the next show. Take care.
Thanks, Gabby.